Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
For those of you who don't know me, I'll just start a little bit by sharing who I am and give you a little bit of an idea of who you're going to be listening to for the next half hour. I'm a Texan. Any Texans? Wow, that's rare. Oh, there's one. Yes, Mark, my husband. So I'm a Texan. I moved to Asia in 2018, lived over in China for a couple years. And before I met Mark, and in 2020 I started this adventure called Cross Marriage. Mark is now, this is actually the first time I've been able to introduce him as a Taiwanese-American. I think we have a picture of that. He got his American passport last month, so that was a big deal in our world. Mark is the champion of my heart. He's an amazing man. And we have two little girls. I've got a selfie. It's very, you can't even see our faces there. It's very hard to get a photo of all four of us this season of life. Does anybody know what that's like? So here we are at our home. We live in Danshui, up north. We have two little girls, which some of you may know. Both of these little girls are miracles. Doctors told me I would never have children, and that it would be very unlikely for me to conceive. Just because it's Mother's Day, I get to do a little bit of, you know, showing off the little ones. This was our first sister dress-up session. So they were princesses, and I love this one with the wand up at high. I can assure you she got whacked. Little sister got, you know, smacked, but we ended up with mostly smiles. But Abigail is 3 and a few months, and Amelia is 8 and a half months. And a couple of, I guess, three Mother's Days ago, we had just given birth to Abigail, our first child, and a couple of news stations in America did a story on us. It was just a miraculous healing that happened. I had surgery 3 times in utero, it was told to us that she would not live. She did live. She was incredibly healthy upon birth. And so I love to tell that story. I'm not going to tell that today. It's an amazing story of God's provision. If you want to hear that story, please ask us, because we just love to share that testimony of how the Lord walked us through a very dark season and had a really amazing outcome. And then we gave birth to a second child, Amelia. So we are living testimony of God doing the impossible. And I'm going to, like I said, not talk about that today. I'm going to talk about a different element of hopefully that will encourage both mothers and all of us, no matter what season of life we're in. So why should you listen to me for the next half hour? I was asking myself the same thing. But the main reason is I love Jesus. Jesus has walked us through some really dark valleys. That song that we sang about, he's faithful then, he's faithful now, he's faithful always, that was a personal song request. Thank you, Mark, for honoring my song request. That is what I hope that at the end of this share that we can just be reminded of God's faithfulness. My work is that I work for a member care of a missions department, a missions agency. And I do a mix of counseling, spiritual direction, and art therapy. And in my work, I mostly get to hear other people's stories. I do a lot of listening to people's stories and struggles. And as I stand here and look out at all of our faces, I'm just reminded that Mother's Day, we all have a story with Mother's Day. You know, for some, it may be a real celebratory time and a real sweet time this season if we have new moms or first-time moms. I didn't become a mother till I was age 37. I'm 40 now. So there was a lot of very sorrowful Mother's Days in my journey where there was an unmet longing and loss. So I just want to name that for some of us, it's more of a tender day. And I, without going any farther, I just want to pray. It's amazing that God can meet all of us, no matter what we carry in our heart. He has a heart to want to meet us right where we are. And so if you would just join me with prayer, in prayer as I get started. God, we draw near to you today, and we thank you that you see us and you hear us right where we are. And we just offer our hearts to you, just open them to you. And we ask that you would open our ears, open our hearts to hear you fresh this morning. And please guide my words and my thoughts in Jesus' name. I pray. Amen. So the title of this message is Surrender and Embrace. And like I said, I hope this is an encouragement not just for the mothers, but for all of us in the house. I've asked a friend and fellow mother, Faith, to come up and read the word that we are going to focus on today. Faith also has a miraculous conception and birth story. So if you're in a season where you're wanting prayer for and just feeling a lack of hope around the birth or giving natural birth, we would love to pray for you. So please feel free to reach out to Faith or I. But Faith, if you could come up and read the word for us.
Good morning, church. So our word is taken from the book of Luke, from verse 26 through 30. It reads, 6 months after Elizabeth had become pregnant, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a city in Galilee. The angel went to a virgin promised in marriage to a descendant of David named Joseph. The virgin's name was Mary. When the angel entered her home, he greeted her and said, "You are favored by the Lord. The Lord is with you." She was startled by what the angel said and tried to figure out what this greeting meant. The angel told her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will become pregnant, give birth to a son, and name him Jesus. He will be a great man and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. Your son will be king of Jacob's people forever, and his kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "How can this be? I'm a virgin." And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come to you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy Child developing inside you will be called, the Holy Child developing inside you will be called the Son of God. Elizabeth, your relative, is 6 months pregnant with a son in her old age. People said she couldn't have a child, but nothing is impossible with God." Mary answered, "I am the Lord's servant. Let everything you've said happen to me." Then the angel left her.
Thank you, Faith. So as I reflected on this passage, just in preparation, I was so touched by Mary's posture to the Lord. I was curious, like, before she received this word, did she have a vision for her life already? Like, did she have a hope for her own future and an idea of where she wanted to head? Or maybe she didn't have any vision. But I imagine that what she imagined in her head was not what the Lord came and spoke to her. And yet she had such a soft posture when the angel came. Her words, she said, she first named her position. She said, "I am the Lord's servant. You say, and I do." It was just this posture of surrender, deep surrender. And that openness reminded me of how in the birth process, the uterine wall has to be very soft for the egg to plant. Now just hang with me a little bit. Mark and I, we did IVF a handful of years ago for twice. We did it. We went through two implantations that both failed. And I learned more details about the birth process than I ever wanted to know in that. You have to be so in tune with all of the hormones and all the things, and it was a really difficult time for us. One thing that I learned in that process was how the body naturally makes a very thick uterine wall, you know, the lining, so that the fertilized egg can go and plant and rest there and grow. And it reminds me of the spiritual formation, you know. And Mary, we don't have details about the formation process that Mary went through before to get her to this point in time where she was willing to say yes. But it makes me curious, how did she come to that space of being so soft and open to the Lord? And how can we also have that softness and that openness to what He wants to do in us and through us? Before Mary became Jesus's mother and entered that road of motherhood, she surely had some formative life experiences that got her to that space. Reading about her posture made me think about all the different postures that we can take when we receive guidance from God. So I've got a few pictures here. First one, hands and ears. Anyone ever taken this posture toward the Lord? You know, no, not listening. No, 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 no. You didn't say that. Second, and sand. So this is actually a real picture, and I was curious if the Anna and Jordan might know about this. This was in New Zealand in 2014. The people actually buried their heads in the sand to send the message to the government that their heads were buried in the sand. Say what?
It's on brand for our nation.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, so I've never actually taken this posture, but I have in the spirit, you know, just that I'm not going to listen, no thank you. And I think I have a picture. Talk to the hand. But just think about all the postures we can take toward the Lord. It could be uninterested, unaware, afraid, defiant, distracted. We each have a will, and nobody else can force us to come to the Lord with that posture of surrender. That's between the individual and God. And so recently, I'm curious, in the quiet moments of your days, have you sensed the Lord asking you to do anything? Just speaking to you directly about maybe something? And similarly, do you feel like you've had a posture that reflects Mary's, that kind of openness of, yes, Lord, you say I do, or has it been something else? So on your chairs, you've each got a piece of paper this morning, and most of you, I think, have pens. So now's the time we're gonna do a little interactive thing. This is where I'm pulling out the art therapist card. I'm going to ask that question just one more time and give you some time to tune in directly to the heart of God, the voice of God. And you can write down anything that you sense, you hear, you see. If you're not into that, just sit quietly. No pressure. No pressure at all. But the question there is, in the quiet, is there something you've sensed God asking you to do? It could be something small, like forgive somebody and say an apology. It could be something much bigger, like adopt a child or give up an addiction, you know. But just in the quietness in your heart, have you been sensing that God touch on something? In the follow-up question is just, what is your posture? So I invite you to use a stick figure or a simple symbol somehow to express the heart posture that you feel interiorly as you listen to the Lord. If you know me, you know I kind of like to lean into the awkward, so we all survived that, right? Early in my walk with God, you can put your papers aside. We'll revisit that later, but early in my walk with God, I learned something called the willingness prayer was taught to me. And I was shown that when I feel unwilling or have that hardness of heart, I can simply pray for the grace to be willing. I can take that resistance to the Lord and ask for willing. For instance, if I know deep in my gut that something's good for me, but I just don't want to do it, I can take that to Him and ask for willingness as a gift to receive, to then enter into that posture of surrender. And that's something that I've revisited again and again in my walk with little things and big things. God, help me to be willing. God, help us to be willing like Mary was willing. And David prays a similar prayer in Psalm 51, verse 12. He says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and make me willing to obey you. Then I will teach your ways to rebels, and they will return to you." How cool is that? God can change our hearts, and then we can help be a part of teaching other people how to change their hearts and soften their hearts to the Lord and give back. So back to our passage. It seems that Mary had been cultivating this heart of surrender in the days, months, years, who knows, leading up to this point in time when she offers a surrendered heart. And that makes me think of how every season that we're in is meaningful and formative. We tend to look to, I just want to get to the next season, or I just want to get to the next point. But what God is doing in us right now in this season is formative for whatever is coming. And I think about how when I was in my teens or 20s, I had very little vision of becoming a mother. I personally struggled with an eating disorder and depression and anxiety, and so I had a very little bright vision. If you know addiction, you know it's very heavy and it's like chains. And that really affected my vision for my future. But when I entered into a recovery journey, there was a surrender that was like a doorway to a whole new way of life. And God taught me a new way that was about communing with Him and walking with Him. While He was rebuilding my life, a lot of my peers around were getting married, having kids, building successful careers, and it was very painful. I was in the middle of five children, and all four of my siblings had spouses and families of their own. And I really had to embrace that I was on a different path. It wasn't helpful at all to compare, but just to follow the path that He was laying out for me personally. And to not just surrender to that, but to embrace it and start co-creating with Him this life that He had given me. And I look at Mary's posture of how she embraced. God surely didn't give her the play-by-play, right? He told her that she is favored, God is with her, she's going to give birth to a son named Jesus, He will be the Holy Child, the Son of God, and His kingdom will never end, and Elizabeth is pregnant, so God can do all things. And that's what she gets, right? Can we agree that there's a lot of details that He left out? Like, how about like her son will live this life of service and then be betrayed, crucified? Her grief will be beyond what she can imagine. She won't be a normal mother. She'll be, you know, a very, very unique mother. He left out a lot of details, and yet Mary still dared to just embrace this life that He was offering her with an openness and a softness. As I entered my 30s, it seemed like I was going to remain single forever. I was on a different path, and I told the Lord as I was engaging with him about that, I just felt like, okay, if I'm single forever, please, I just don't want to be like longing and like in self-pity and caught in that desperateness. Like, show me how to live a vibrant, abundant single life for you. And he was so gracious to put all these amazing older women in my life that were models of that. And again, it was a surrendering of, Lord, your will, not mine, be done. Fast forward, I moved, I discerned the call to go to China at age 34 as a single. And that was such an exciting adventure with him. 2 years later, I met Mark, and that was not on my radar at all. And Mark had been praying for a wife who was familiar with Asian culture and language. And had I not followed my call to come to Asia, to follow the Lord in that way, I don't think Mark would have been interested in me. And it's just amazing to see the orchestration in the way that us individually following our paths, then we came together at a specific time. Each aspect of my call in China as a single was difficult. I was working with red light in the red light district with women, homeschooling my niece and nephew. Each aspect was beautiful, and each aspect was difficult as well. And I think every season of our lives, there are things that are significant gifts as well as losses. And if we can name both and embrace both, it's very important, because some of the gifts of this season don't carry into the next season. When I was a single, it was really hard to fight some of the lies of being undesired or having to go fly solo a lot when I struggled with social anxiety. Then I entered into marriage, it was really hard to let go of unilateral decision-making and my fierce independence, right? And then come having children, it's been really hard to let go of spontaneity and availability and quiet. I really like quiet. It's hard, right? But each of these seasons has had significant gifts that haven't carried forward into the next, and also had losses involved. And so I'm sure we can all name whatever season that we're in, some of the losses and some of the gifts, but God's faithful presence is with us, and it's a refining fire, right? He promises this pruning process and this refinement that we can be made more Christ-like no matter what our season is. There's always an opportunity to sacrifice and also to embrace what the Lord is calling us to do. I'm going to end by camping out on a short scripture. This is 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I love how this verse applies to every single one of us, no matter what stage of life, no matter what nationality, no matter what age. We're always asking, what's God's will for my life? What do I want to do? What does he want me to do? And this right here speaks very clearly, this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus, and it's about how we are to be, no matter what we're doing. It's about that interior posture. Here's his will for us today. The command to rejoice doesn't mean to just look happy or pretend to be happy, but rather that we should cultivate a joy that is rooted in our faith in God and his promises, even in difficult situations. The source of this rejoicing is the love, the acceptance, and the provision of God and the promises of eternal life in Christ Jesus. And if you believe in Christ, then we have that. That's part of what brings us together, the rejoicing in him and what he's done. So God is reaching out to each of us, to each of us. And what is your posture toward him today? Can you surrender or begin to pray for his grace to soften your heart to that surrender? And are you embracing both the losses and the gifts of the season you're in right now? I'd like to end by circling back to the words of Jesus' mother. Mary answered, "I am the Lord's servant. Let everything you've said happen to me." As Mary brought herself low and offered her life to God to be used as he saw fit, he did incredible things in her and through her. He exalted her into a very, very special role. God brought about an amazing work that we have all benefited from through her. And as you sit, I invite you to just open your hands, maybe on your knees or in a physical posture of surrender. I'm just going to pray similarly that God would do amazing things in us and through us. Father, we offer ourselves to you, our loving God. And I pray you reveal the unique plans and the purposes that you created us for at this time in our lives. I pray you stir our hearts to partner with you in ways that are so fitting for each of the individuals in this room. I pray that new things are birthed through us. I pray that you use us to extend your kingdom and bless this earth. Amen. I pray that you are all encouraged, and thank you for the opportunity to share. Have a great week in the Lord. Bye.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.